last several weeks, you've gotten a really great sense of the fact that every person at West Winds is a valuable part of our community. Every person here, whether no matter how old they are, no matter how young they are, everybody is a valuable part of this body. And every volunteer and every person that works with all these different age groups is a valuable part of what makes us able to function as a body. All the different parts, all the different ministries of our church work together in tandem, just like the different parts of our bodies work together to keep us alive, right? We all cooperate with one another in order to keep things running here. We've used this metaphor of the body because it is one of Paul's favorite metaphors for the church. He uses it in several different places. And every time he uses it, we get a different sense, a different idea, a different perspective on how our bodies are intended to function, how the church is intended to function and operate. In our passage today, we are going to be talking about how the church is intended to grow up, and we're going to be talking about that in the context of our life groups. Everyone in this room and online knows this fact, right? Getting older isn't a choice, but becoming mature is. We all know this, right? Getting older isn't a choice, but becoming more mature is. And I think that this principle is illustrated best in a movie that came out a couple years ago. It's a movie, you may remember it, it's called Failure to Launch. And it was a romantic comedy with Matthew McConaughey and Sarah Jessica Parker. And the basic premise of it was that it was about this 35-year-old man who was still living with his parents and honestly enjoying a really cushy lifestyle because he didn't have a lot of responsibilities to take care of. It's this 35-year-old. And so, of course, his parents are a little bit frustrated, so they decide to hire this expert, you know, to help him move out and transition out gradually. And of course, this expert strategy involves dating. That's where the rom-com part comes in, and so on and so forth. And it's a pretty cheesy movie. It's not necessarily a cinematic masterpiece, but it does illustrate this growing reality in our society, this growing reality called extended adolescence. You may have heard of this before, extended adolescence. Basically, it's this phenomenon that psychologists and sociologists, all these people have observed among teens and young adults, and people older than that, honestly, among teens and young adults, where they push off the responsibilities of adulthood until later in life. Now, there's a lot of different reasons for this. The biggest of which is probably financial reasons. You know, especially in our area, not all 21-year-olds, very few 21-year-olds can go out and buy a house, right? That's just the reality of the world that we're living in. But even all putting all those factors aside, there's still this growing reality that more and more people are pushing off the responsibility of adulthood. They're getting older, but they're not becoming more mature. One psychologist actually said that 25 is the new 18, which I'm sure is good news for all of you who are raising young adults and older teenagers right now. In a similar way, a lot of us as Christians can suffer from extended adolescence as Christians because we've pushed off the responsibility for our spiritual health and our spiritual growth and for the spiritual health and growth of our community onto other people. We've pushed off that responsibility. We believe that it's not our job to think about the spiritual health of our families or the spiritual or our own spiritual health. That's someone else's job to worry about. Spiritual maturity is a choice in the same way that maturity in general is. Spiritual maturity is a choice. It requires an intentional decision to lean in, to press in, and to become mature. And in our passage from Ephesians today, we're actually going to be talking about the spiritual maturity because Paul intends for us to see ourselves as part of a body that is intended for maturity. Nobody stays a five-year-old forever, right? Nobody can stay a five-year-old forever. And so Paul's point in Ephesians 4 is we are part of a body that is intended for maturity. And in fact, all of the ministries at our church should be geared towards this spiritual maturity, ministry is for maturity. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're going to take a second to pause here. Now, when I was in Bible college, we learned about the first verse of this, verse 4:11. We learned about it in the context of deciding what roles could be considered spiritual leadership. What roles can we consider church leadership roles? And then that would lead into debates about, you know, whether, like, what constitutes a teacher, what constitutes a prophet? Are shepherds and teachers the same? It led into all these different debates. And then it led some to even wonder, is church leadership structure even necessary? Like, is it actually, you know, something that churches need? And I think what we see in Ephesians 4 here is that, yes, churches do need leadership. Yes, there are some roles that we can constitute church leadership roles. But more importantly, Paul's emphasis here is on what church leadership is for. What are church leaders here to do for the body? And the answer to that question is this: church leaders are here to equip. They're here to equip. And in simple terms, really, what that means is we're here to give you what you need in order to influence people for Christ. We're here to give you the tools, the programs, the things that you need in order to reach people in your home and in your church and in your community. We're here to do that for you. And as we do that, the overarching goal for our whole body is to demonstrate unity, the unity of Christ, the unity, the togetherness that God brings to us all. In that process, we grow in our knowledge and understanding of Christ and of Scripture. And in that process, we grow in our character. We grow in how much like Jesus we are. But that's only when we are equipped to do so. And I think it's interesting that Paul starts verse 13 with the phrase, until we all. And what that underscores is the fact that spiritual maturity is not a race. It is not a race. It is not a race to see who can get to spiritual maturity faster than the other person. It is not like that. When we walk together. And spiritual maturity is something that the whole body is intended to walk towards together. Some people walk faster than others, and some people walk slower than others. But the point is that we're doing it as one body, not as just a finger or a hand or a toe. The point is we're doing it together. Because spiritual maturity is fostered in community. It's a collective maturity. It's the maturity of Westwinds, not just of one or two people in our congregation. It's about the maturity of the church. It's a collective maturity. It's not individual. Because it's this collective maturity that makes our community strong. A chair with three wobbly legs is going to be less strong than a chair with four stable ones, right? Or a chair with one leg missing is going to be less stable than a chair with all four legs. We know this. And in the same way, Paul is saying there is a great danger in relying too heavily on one person or on a handful of people to keep our community spiritually strong and spiritually healthy. There's great danger in relying too heavily on one or two people to keep the community strong. And the reason for that he highlights in verse 14, which says this: so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint from which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, if you get a group of people together in one room from all sorts of different political backgrounds, there's not going to be a lot of things that they agree on. But there is one thing that almost every person in our culture can agree on. And that's that children and teenagers are vulnerable. The younger they are, the more vulnerable they are. That's why we have laws that protect minors, and no one will contest those laws, because we understand young people are vulnerable. And in the same way, when we are spiritually immature, we leave ourselves vulnerable to those who would exploit and those who would take advantage and those who would deceive the community of Christ. When we are spiritually immature, we leave ourselves vulnerable and at risk to those who would take advantage of our community. So how are we to be kept from being taken advantage of? How does God intend for us to be protected? By growing up. By growing up, protected by the truth of the gospel and the power of love in action. That's how we keep ourselves from being taken advantage of. That's how we keep ourselves from those who would take advantage of us. And as we do this, Jesus fosters these connections. He keeps us in step with each other and with him because we're stronger together. We're stronger together. Think about a piece of knit fabric. No matter how hard you pull it, it stays together because it's knit together. And that's actually the literal word that Paul uses here, knit together. Knit together because you're stronger when we're together. Spiritual maturity is fostered in relationship. No one can sit at home, think about how mature they are, and expect to grow spiritually mature that way. It doesn't happen that way. Spiritual maturity can never be fostered in isolation. It's only fostered in relationship. And it's those close connections between us and between us and God that keep us spiritually mature, that help us grow spiritually mature and help us, protect us from being vulnerable. Now, back in March, a lot of us, our life group leaders included, had to pivot our lives in order to adjust to the new normal, quote unquote, the new normal, the new reality that we are facing with COVID. And I wanted to mention our life group leaders today, because they did an amazing job of adjusting to new technologies and adapting new formats for their groups. And in talking to them, they did this, and they did this quickly, because they recognized that it was important, more important than ever, actually, for their groups to stay connected to a consistent community. They recognized that it was important, it was vital for all of their group members to stay connected to a community that would encourage them, pray for them, and remind them of the truth of God's word. And if you were a part of a group around this time, you probably know just how vital that was in a time of isolation. Connection in the midst of isolation was so vital for so many of us. And that is essentially what life groups are all about. They're about facilitating connection, the kind of connection that leads to spiritual maturity. And if I can let you in on a little secret today, it's that anybody can help foster and facilitate that kind of connection. You don't need to have a Bible college education to help someone connect. You don't need to be a Martha Stewart level host to help someone connect. Anyone can help someone connect. So our goal and our plan at West Winds is pretty simple. It's to give you what you need in order to help facilitate connection. Over the next 8 weeks, we are going to be releasing a series of videos on the book of Romans through the first 8 chapters of it. And we're going to be releasing discussion questions as well. And those are going to be available on our website and on our social media pages starting October 1st. We want to make it as accessible as possible because we believe that that's us helping you, equipping you, and giving you what you need to help influence other people for Christ. because anyone can be connected and help someone connect. Being connected can be as simple as signing up for a group for the first time and committing to be there for 8 weeks. That is how simple being connected can be. Helping someone connect can be as simple as inviting someone to be in the group with you. It can be as simple as inviting someone to watch the videos with you. Maybe even a couple people. Invite a couple people to watch the videos with you and then discuss them afterwards. That's how simple being connected and helping someone connect can be. And if you want to be a person who helps someone, who helps a group of people connect, but you don't know where to get started, you come talk to me because we'll help you set that up in a great way. And I want to make sure everyone knows that no matter what your comfort level is with seeing people right now, we have groups that are willing to meet with you, however you're willing to meet with them. We have groups online, we have groups that are meeting in person, distanced, with masks and sanitizer. We have all of those opportunities. Those are open to you. It's not hard, is what I'm trying to say. We want to give you what you need in order to help someone connect and to be connected. And I think that as our church goes back to intentional relationships and organic hospitality, we'll actually be going back to our roots. When we move away from planning social events, as we move away from planning social events and trying to manage our programs, I think we'll see us going back to our roots, the way that ministry was intended to function, like in Ephesians 4. And sure, it'll be challenging. Sure, it'll take us out of our comfort zone a little bit, but that's the growing pains of spiritual maturity. That's the growing pains of growing up. We're going back to our roots. Over the summer, I had the privilege of learning about a special group of Christians that I hadn't known about before. And I'm not sure if maybe some of you in this room know who they are. They're a group known as the Chinese Bible Women. The Chinese Bible Women. I'm sure you can tell why that they're significant to me. When Christianity first landed in China in the early 19th century, Western missionaries actually had a really difficult time reaching women with the gospel, because for most of their lives, women were sequestered in their homes. They weren't allowed to be out in public. And those that had to work and those that were living in rural areas and could be out and about were usually illiterate. So they weren't able to understand some of the tracts and different materials that the missionaries would give them, if they could even reach them. The way that the gospel reached Chinese women and was widespread among Chinese women is through these Chinese Bible women. These early Chinese Christian women would go from house to house, sometimes village to village, on foot, and they would knock on doors and start talking to women about the Bible in their homes. That's all they did. And through the week, they'd just make their rounds, house to house, village to village, going around and talking to people about the Bible in their homes. That's all. It's estimated that at their peak, they reached hundreds of thousands of women, despite the fact that they were only a group of about 2,000. It's pretty significant. What's interesting to me about them is that we don't actually know a lot of their names. We know maybe one, maybe two, but even so, that's the only thing we know about them is their names. They are known for their work as a group, as a collective. I think that God has something really amazing that he wants to do through us, our church, for such a time as this. But I don't think he's interested in doing it through one or two of us, or even a handful of us. I don't think he's interested in doing it through the staff or just the board. I think he wants to do something in and through us as the church, as Westwinds Community Church. And that means that every single one of us needs to be dialed in to what God would have us do. Every single one of us needs to be connected and help someone else connect. That's a non-negotiable. if we are going to see the amazing things that God has for our community as a whole to do. And as I reflect on this, I want to leave you with this. Wouldn't it be amazing if we were known, church, for the legacy we leave behind in Cloverdale as a church and not just for one or two people that are active in our community? What might God do through us if we were simply all people who were connected and helped someone else connect? What might God do through us then? Let's pray.